Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
He's preparing for thousands of fewer workers.
At the Pentagon, sources tell ABC News Secretary Pete Hegseth is preparing to fire or remove a series of top generals and senior officials, a list of their names already circulating among Republicans on Capitol Hill. The big question doesn't include the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, C.Q. Brown. Hegseth once said Brown had to go. The Pentagon now moving forward with an 8% cut, roughly $50 billion, that the agency says will be redirected toward other defense priorities.
ABC's Rachel Scott. The bodies of four Israeli hostages handed over today to Israel. Hamas says it will release six living hostages this weekend. Another day of frigid weather across much of the country, and then things will thaw out. 24 below wind chill in Kansas City this morning, could be close to 60 on Monday. This is ABC News. The FBI says an image that helped crack the case of burglaries targeting professional athletes across the U.S. turned up in a search of an iCloud account tied to the Chilean Nationals, seen posing with a safe filled with watches, jewelry, and cash stolen from NBA star Bobby Portis.
One of the suspects is seen wearing a Kansas City Chiefs shirt. The FBI says that's a reference to the group's earlier burglaries targeting the homes of NFL stars Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Federal prosecutors accused seven Chilean nationals with transporting cash and valuables stolen from the homes of a half dozen pro athletes and worth $5 million.
ABC News senior investigative correspondent Aaron Katursky. The world's largest retailer, Walmart, rolling through the fourth quarter with strong profits and sales. The outlook for 2025, however, isn't as rosy. Government tariffs imposed on China and other countries, experts say, threaten the low-price model at the core of Walmart's success. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 11 Monday through Sunday with all your lunchtime favorites. Burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center Pizza. Call ahead at 649-7469 for carryout from the Phoenix Center in Richland Center.
A funeral service can help us remember the person who died and share our unique memories with others, creating hope for the future. This is Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. Our goal is to allow families to create a funeral service that recalls good moments and special times. We also want you to have a service that allows healing to begin. We are always willing to help at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Learn how you can own a home without needing 20% down.
A high in the low 20s today. Northwest winds around 10 miles per hour. Mostly clear and cold tonight. A low of 2 degrees below zero. Light northwesterly to westerly winds. Friday, lots of sunshine. A high of 23. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 7. Saturday, partly cloudy and a bit warmer. A high of 30. Sunday, a thaw begins. Partly sunny and a high of 39.
Hey, this is Dave Grant with Civic Media. I recently got U.S. Cellular's home internet service from Cell Plus in Baraboo. The router was free, the setup was so easy, and the speed is incredible. I even rely on U.S. Cellular's home internet for my live morning show, whether from my house or from the cottage. Best part, the price is locked in for 3 years for $39.99 a month when bundled with a wireless plan. Terms do apply. Go to your nearest U.S. Cellular authorized agent, Cell Plus, and check it out.
Ithaca and Buena Vista Lions Clubs are coming together for a great cause. Join them for a pancake breakfast fundraiser in support of Jennifer Ward on February 23rd from 7 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at Ithaca High School Commons. The community will gather to enjoy a delicious breakfast, a fun bounce house for kids, and an opportunity to give back. Adults can eat for just $10, students $5, preschoolers eat free. Remember, carryouts are available. Don't forget to check out the bake sale, silent auction, and meat raffle. If you want to contribute, call Bill at 608-475-6870 or Joanne at 608-516-2675.
Come together, enjoy a great meal, and support a wonderful cause. The Ithaca and Buena Vista Lions Clubs Benefit Pancake Breakfast Fundraiser in support of Jennifer Ward on February 23rd from 7 to 12:30. Ready to revamp your deck or fence? Bailey Paint and Decorating in Richland Center introduces you to Benjamin Moore Woodlux Stains. Over 3,500 solid and ultra-flat options. Woodlux by Benjamin Moore brings out the natural grain and texture of your wood while protecting it from the elements like rain, sun, and snow. For a stunning, durable finish that lasts, visit Bailey Paint and Decorating. Benjamin Moore Woodlux, where innovation meets excellence. Bailey Paint and Decorating, your partner in beautiful, lasting results.
See the new Buick Envista at your local Buick dealer, Sleepy Hollow. The new Buick Envista crossover, a great car with great fuel economy at a great price. Starting only $23,990 and in stock now at Sleepy Hollow in Viroqua. Buick Enclave, Buick Envision, Buick Encore GX, and the all-new Buick Envista. At Sleepy Hollow Chevrolet Buick GMC, now your new local Buick dealer on Viroqua's north side.
Sleepy Hollow. Wolf Moon Dance, here we are all alone in Escanaba in the moonlight together. But I just can't be happy because I'm 35 and I've never bagged a buck.
My people have magic potions that can help you.
Oh, thanks much. What I have to do to get some?
First, you must catch a porcupine.
Catch a porcupine? With my hands?
Yes, and then you must extract its essence.
Its essence? What do you mean by that?
And you will need to find a moose as well.
A whole moose? To extract its essence?
No, just one part of it.
The horn?
No, lower.
The hoof?
No, higher.
The tail?
Closer.
I don't think I want to know. But if you want to know, come to see Escanaba in the Moonlight at the City Auditorium on Friday, March 14th, and Saturday, March 15th at 7 p.m., and Sunday, March 16th at 2 p.m. Just $10 to get in.
And may you have good medicine until then.
Welcome to Richland Family Restaurant Studios, where great music and good times meet.
Welcome to our morning show get-together on WRCO Radio. We have brought in some friends from Ithaca Schools today. Greg Herbst, superintendent and middle school and high school principal, along with Shay Willis, science and reading for a seventh middle school teacher. We're also going to talk to Shauna Kitzenbull, kindergarten teacher in the Ithaca District, and Emily Zarea, library specialist and sixth grade reading teacher at Ithaca. Well, good morning, one and all. Shay, you've drawn the short straw, so we'll start with you.
Well, good morning, Phil. How are you?
Good. Good to have you on the radio with us here today.
It's good to be back.
Does it seem like the school year is going by quickly?
Both yes and no. I cannot believe that September was already so many months away, and yet this week feels like it's been maybe a month long. But that's kind of how it feels in that winter stages. The kids kind of want to be outside, so it gets to feel like long days, but at the same time, it's just they've grown so much. We've taught so much since September. It depends on the day. How long does it feel?
And you said before we went on the air that you really like where you're at in terms of the age group you teach. Why do you like teaching middle school?
Middle schoolers are this great blend between the youth and creativity and imagination of really young students, while also having this sort of independence, and they're really growing into who they are as a person. And I love to be able to watch that about them and help them find out who they are, what are their particular interests, and help them grow the skills that they'll need to be independent adults. But they're also just fun and quirky, and they're ready to have a good day every day, just like a younger student would be. And I think that it's just a really fun blend to be around. It keeps me energetic most of the time. Sometimes they take it out of you, but for the most part, it's just such a fun, bubbly age group to be around.
Is it important to have a sense of humor teaching that age group?
I don't think you'd get through a day in middle school without a sense of humor. they're funny. They're always making jokes, and you have to be ready to kind of roll with that and go with the flow. It never works to be too serious with middle school. So yeah, humor is good. And when you walk down the hall of Ithaca, the middle school hallway, you can hear laughter and joy coming out of every classroom. And it's a really great thing to experience.
What is new in the science world at that level?
Oh, so in eighth grade, we just got into physics. So the first half of the year, we focus on chemistry, and then we get into physics in the latter half of the year, because then it's all really project-based, which is what students are craving, especially as we get towards the end of the year with testing and schedules get really funky. You always want to have something super fun. So we are going to be working on potential and kinetic energies. And so we are going to be starting building rubber band race cars, where they have to build a race car that travels the farthest and the fastest with only the power of a rubber band.
That is awesome. I remember that back in the day, the physical science, I think is what they called it.
Yep. But
we had to build batteries that actually powered motors. That you don't do that anymore, though, huh?
I have not personally taught electricity yet. I'm hoping that as I really get a handle on this curriculum, since it's only my second year in science, that I'll be able to add more. I know at the end of this year, I should have enough time to talk about the properties of water and what makes that unique. A lot of really fun experiments there. And then hopefully next year, I can get into a little bit of electricity and that kind of energy.
Do the students have a science fair then as well at Ithaca?
We have not in the last couple of years in the middle school, as I've been learning. Hopefully next year, I'd like to implement that again and have a science fair in the middle school. Have guest judges come in, do the whole nine yards.
It's got to be rewarding, though, when they grasp something, right?
It is so much fun. I remember last year, actually working on the rubber band race car, I had this one student, and she worked on this for weeks, and she could not get her car to run the way that she particularly wanted it to. And in the 0 hour, it's like 5 minutes before the end of the last class that we're working on this, I hear this, yes, screamed across the room, and she's jumping up and down, and her little race car is just flying across my class. It was so much fun. The entire class could just feel that excitement emanating off of her. Like, we all felt so good about her doing this task that she wanted to do. And little moments are happening like that every day, where a student is picking up something they didn't have the day before. And it is just so exciting.
Do you have races of these rubber band cars?
Absolutely. And so we time them, so we only run one car at a time. Otherwise, they run into each other, and then they break, and that's a sad day. So we run them one at a time, and we measure how far they go, and then how fast did they go that distance. So we have prizes for the fastest car, the car that can move the farthest, and then last year we gave an honorary prize for a car that spun in circles.
It did tricks.
It did. It was like the entertainment car.
Yeah, you need one of those. But I think it's very important for kids to be having fun and not even realizing they're learning, right?
Absolutely. It engages more parts of the brain when they're having fun and doing things hands-on. If they're just sitting with a book, then sure, we're engaging the ocular part of their brain. But if we can engage their listening skills and their hands-on skills and the part of the brain in charge of humor, that's a lot of neurons firing at the same time. So not only are they not going to be realizing that they're learning, but they're also going to have a better grasp of what they're talking about, because that memory is stored in multiple different parts of the brain as opposed to being only stored in one part of their brain.
But speaking of reading, that's another part of your day too, isn't it?
It is. I like to have a hand in every pot. So part of my day is middle school science, and then I have an eighth grade reading course, and I do reading intervention as well.
Okay. And so that's a typical day then. Do you actually have reading time, or do you have an hour that you put aside for that?
Yeah, so the eighth grade reading course is a regularly scheduled hour of the day. And then for intervention, I have a couple of open spots in the day where I'm pulling students from study hall or during their attack time, which is a general all-school study time at the end of the day, and they get some individualized intensive instruction. So if there's something in reading that they really struggle with, whether it's sounding words out or maybe reading fluently when they're reading out loud, we practice those skills for short bursts of time, but really intensely. Usually every day I have a couple groups through their schedule. We can only meet every other day. But we just kind of boost those skills to give them a little bit of confidence and help them really to succeed in all of their classes, because every class has reading.
Is there a required read at that level where everybody reads the same book? Do you do that or not?
We have just started implementing a new curriculum, and Emily Zarea is here with us today, and she'll be able to talk about that as well. We have this Common Lit 360 curriculum that we've been using through the middle school, and it is aligned to national and state standards, and it has some really great texts that I read when I was in school. Right now, eighth grade is tackling the play 12 Angry Men, so I get to bring out my theater degree a little bit. And it's so great to be reading this classic piece of literature with them and talking about all of the things that have happened since it was written in the 1950s. And so, yes, we do have in our whole class groups these required readings where everyone is reading them. And now that we have this curriculum implemented, we will keep that going throughout the year. So every group will be able to experience these texts.
Reading is so important. I mean, that's the one thing you're going to use your whole life, right?
Oh, yes. It's absolutely foundational to everything that we do as adults. And we don't expect our students, all of them, to go on to college or to study English or to study literature. But everyone reads as part of the day, whether you're reading the news or sending an email for work. It's such a foundational part of our day. So making sure that our students have those skills. They sometimes think that we're just reading a play, but really what they're doing is learning how to problem solve, learning how to find the answer to a question that they don't quite understand yet, really seeking out different types of clues. So not only are we building their reading skills, but we're also building problem solving skills as well.
Speaking of reading, we're going to go over to another level of reading, and we're going to talk about kindergarten with Shauna Kitzimble. Shauna, good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
Can you describe a typical day for the Ithaca kindergartners?
A typical day in kindergarten is never typical. with 5 and 6 year olds, it's go with the flow most of the day. But we do a lot of your foundational reading. So I like to say that in kindergarten you get the best. Or the most rewarding job, really. I get to see them go from not knowing their letters and sounds to their reading sentences at the end of the year and drawing pictures to match their sentences. So no, it's not as complex as other grades, but the growth is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I talked about that with another teacher recently on the show, too. I think of all the grade levels, you might see the most growth from the beginning of the school year till the end at kindergarten.
Yes, level. Yep. And I've taught other grades, too, but in kindergarten, you really do see the most growth. Like I said, you go from zero reading skills to your foundation. So it's the concrete of a house. Like without that concrete first layer, your house is just not stable. And it's the same with reading.
How many years have you been with the Ithaca District?
This is year number 8.
And you've taught other levels?
Yes. You said? Yep. Mm-hmm. So I've been in third grade and I've also been in title reading.
Mm-hmm. But so. Why kindergarten?
It's the most fun. I love the energy. Like, I can't go in bored. There's not a time in the day where I'm bored. There's a time where I'm overwhelmed. I'm maybe overstimulated, but never bored. And I get told I love you. I get told I'm pretty. I get told I'm the best teacher ever. Like, kindergartners are just, they're full of energy. They're full of love. And they just care so much. And I just love that part of every day.
Yeah, you talk about rewarding. That's mm-hmm. It's got to be rewarding when you hear that.
Yep. Right? Yeah, and they're so honest, even if you don't want to hear it.
Like, yeah, it could go the other way.
Yeah,
right?
like yesterday was a really long day, but at the end of the day, I had a student say, Mrs. Kitzimble, did you have a really long day today? Can you tell in my voice, my face? I don't know. But yes, it's been a really long day. They just don't hide anything.
And I'm guessing at that level, too, they're really affected by the weather, right? And if you can't go out for recess?
Yeah. I am hoping like crazy that it is above 5 degrees and the kids can go outside for recess today. You can really tell. Like, even as the teacher, being cooped up inside all day, they're cooped up during the school day, they're cooped up at night, they just need that outside time. They really need to move their body. Even though they're playing games in the classroom, it is not the same. They need those gross motor skills where they're running, they're playing, but more importantly, they're also socializing in unique ways outside that you can't do inside the classroom. And when they're cooped up, it is tiring. Like, more so for them than me, but they just need outside, and this cold is really affecting our whole day.
Yeah, well, it's ending soon, so that's good
yes,
news.
Yes, right? I am looking forward to the 40s and 50s next week that I'm hearing, and I am praying that it doesn't change.
Now, do you still have kindergarten mats for naps? I mean, we did that back in the day. Do they still do that or not?
I would like to see more of it. So next year, I would like to incorporate more nap time because these kids need to rest. They are being asked so much between testing and kindergarten, and I mean, like I said, their growth is huge. They are taking in so much in their little brains. I would like to see them be able to rest more. This year, we really kind of weaned it out after our Christmas break, but it's something I'd like to see more of.
Maybe a cot for the teacher, too, then.
Ah, right? Yeah. Just don't tell my principal that I'm sleeping on the job.
I'm sure you can't do that.
No.
But with the advent of, you know, the 4K, and we even have 3K in the area now as well, mm-hmm. but when you get them, they're a lot farther ahead than they were probably even 10 years ago at kindergarten, aren't they?
Yeah. The amount that kindergartners are doing now compared to previous years, it's phenomenal and crazy all at the same time. Like, what five-year-olds are capable of doing is unique to watch. Like, it used to be where kindergarten was just play. Like, I remember when I was in kindergarten, that's all I remember. Maybe I learned some letters, but I remember playtime. Whereas now my kids know how to spell words. They know how to read words. And this week we're really getting into even blends. So instead of reading words like cat, mat, we're reading words like flip-flop. So putting those two consonants together, it's just crazy to see them put all these things together and really grow.
It seems like a kindergarten book or reader from years ago, they'd be well above that now in 2025, wouldn't they?
Yes. Yep.
Sounds good. What some things you'd like to see for the future, goals for the future at the kindergarten level?
More play. Uh-huh. More play. Learning through, like, really putting that play involved of the kids learning together instead of sitting at the carpet, whole group. I would like to see more, what word am I looking for? Less structure, more independent learning, more social skills, more, just more student-led learning. Whereas they're still learning how to read, but also learning how to problem solve, how to communicate, versus the teacher fixing everything for them. I'd really like to see kids figuring out how to have conversations with one another, how to solve problems when there's tears involved, or if somebody steals my toy, what do I do? Because we need to know how to do that as well as learn how to read, how to add, how to do all of these things. We just can't put that before the communication skills.
I think that's really well said and important. You know, and I'm thinking about it, you don't have to deal with phones and personal devices at that age.
No.
I mean, so I think, and that's really, it's a lost art, I think, where,
yes.
You know, people look each other in the eye and communicate. So that's mm-hmm. maybe something you can build a foundation now in kindergarten, hopefully.
Right? Yes. I just get more of, how come we don't have tablet time? Where can we have an iPad, or can we have this or that? And it's like, no. And I do a lot less technology than I think the average kindergarten does. We do a lot of hands-on, a lot of play, and I try to avoid the tablets as much as possible just because they do need to know how to communicate, how to write, how to play with one another and interact with one another instead of interacting with the technology.
We appreciate you coming in today. So you had to get a sub, so the kids are doing all right, hopefully, on
yeah,
your absence?
My aide might be wanting me back right now because she's covering for me, but she'll be great.
Appreciate you coming in, Shauna. Let's move over to Emily Zarea on the other side of the room here, library specialist in sixth grade reading. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Phil.
Good to have you in the studio with us today.
Nice to be back.
So reading, as we talked with Shay as well, certainly so important, and you know that better than anybody. So how are things going in the Ithaca Library?
We are great, and I just want to give a shout out to Shay and Shauna, and just thinking about reading in general. But I think what makes Ithaca a really unique place is that we have colleagues who are friends and who like each other, and we're able to have conversations about what we're doing in our classrooms and how can we augment things or build on things or change things. And I think that small schools are unique in our ability to collaborate and have these conversations frequently in real time, because we're seeing each other in the hall, we're seeing each other in the break room, we're seeing each other at professional development, and we're able to talk about things and problem solve in a way that maybe if you're in a bigger institution, those conversations just can't happen as easily. But I was so thankful when Shay came to our middle school team. It was like, thank goodness, because we have a great person. She mentioned this, so I can highlight it. So a couple of years ago, both of us saw a need for increased collaboration for us to be more on the same page in our curriculum. This was happening in the elementary school, and teachers were working together to find a common curriculum, to find common lessons. So we need that in the middle school too. So we found a curriculum, and it's like, let's try this out. Shay was in her first year teaching science, and so she very wisely said, I'm going to hold back just a year. Let's pilot this, see what the results are, and then move forward. And the results were phenomenal. So we started streamlining the same curriculum and reading class in our English language arts class in middle school, and we saw huge growth in our students just in a single year. And I think it's because they were noticing that we're teaching the same lessons in English class, reading class, which is huge because they understand just what we're doing, and the lessons looked the same. Just that format that's a common, like, it visually looks the same. I'm expected to do the same thing in both rooms because my paper looks the same, the slides look the same. It just took out a lot of that, you know, questioning piece, like, what am I expected to do? That was a question that we were getting all the time from students. How do you want me to answer this? Just took care of that. And so now we're able to take that time and put it into deeper thinking and deeper problem solving. But you only get that when you have really wonderful colleagues who are willing to actually look at problems and think, how can we find a better solution? And we have that at Ithaca. And I will also say, just like looking at Shauna and Shay, I think that another thing that is really unique at Ithaca is that we are a small school. So you have teachers like Shauna and Shay who have been there long enough that when our students are graduating, it's like, I remember when you were in my classroom. So for example, this is my seventh year at Ithaca. The students who are now seniors, they were the sixth graders when I first came in. So now I have taught every student at Ithaca from the four-year-olds to the 18-year-olds. They're either a current student, I'm teaching them right now, or they're a former student, and I once taught them, and now I'm coaching them in forensics, or I'm their advisor for National Honor Society, or I'm one of their study hall supervisors because they're having study hall and library. You don't get that kind of community in other places, but in a small school. And so I think that it's really important to have places that are nurturing like this, where they can see Shauna in the hall and remember, she was my third grade teacher once upon a time, or Shay, she was my seventh grade teacher once upon a time. And it brings back this sense of, we belong here, and these are people who have been looking out for me for a very long time, and they're here. But going back to your question, so good things happen in the library. Always good things are happening in the library. So I teach reading with Shay, and it's really a structured class, but in elementary library, I see that more as an opportunity for us to explore and be exposed to different ideas. And books can do that for us, but also the world can do that for us. And so in the library, we're able to take the time to explore things that maybe we don't have time for in the classroom, but they're wonderful, unique opportunities that really open up our students' understanding of how big the world is. So for example, Glacier Bay National Park reached out to me and said, how about we collaborate and we can zoom in and do interactive programs with your students about Alaska and the marine habitats. And it's like, absolutely. So kindergarten through fifth grade was able to have Zoom sessions with a National Park Ranger in Glacier Bay National Park. They get up at 5 a.m. so that they could do this with my students that I have at 8. It's things like that that really open up our understanding of the world and how big our world is and what we can expect of ourselves and what we can expect of our education and where our lives can take us. And then from that program, I can offer books. These are the books about the animals that they were talking about. These are books about the places that they were talking about. And students are able to see themselves in books because they had a wonderful experience in the library that they wouldn't have had otherwise. So I really see our library program as connecting a lot of dots between our students' lived experiences and then their experiences in books and their experiences that we're able to bring them and offer them that are greater than what they would otherwise experience. So it's kind of this whole circle. And like when you compile that with this collaboration between colleagues, you know, kindergarten through 12th grade, or collaboration between just classroom partners, you're really able to have a depth and a breadth and what we are able to offer that I think is unique to small schools. We're able to do that because our colleagues are right across the hall, and we're able to have these conversations in a way that you can't in other spaces.
Well, I think having that unique relationship, too, you know, in a small school, you can get a student interested in reading knowing that maybe their background, you know, oh, you like sports, here's this book, or, you know, that kind
absolutely
of thing.
And I can buy books in the library almost for specific students. So when I'm ordering books, like, I'm not just saying I think kids are interested in that. I can say I know these five students, and I can list them, are interested in this book, so I'm going to get it for them. And I've even said that, especially to kiddos who maybe are struggling to connect with a book, or they're having a tough year, and I will actually give them a book, like, right out of the box. So it comes in from the publisher, I open the box, and I say, I want you to see this, and I'll pull them over, and I'm like, I bought this book thinking about you. And that's a really cool moment. And I will say to the kids, like, you're the very first one to open this book up. I haven't even opened it up. Like, you're the first one to touch those pages. Like, how often in life are we ever the first one to experience something? But you can, when you have a library and a librarian who knows you, and to have that kind of personal relationship with our students where we can follow them all the way through, and I know who they are and what they need at different moments, and we can get books in our library just for them, that's really unique, and it's pretty special. And I think it shows in our students who see reading now as just part of who they are and part of their life.
Not only a new book, but I don't know how many old books you have there, but you know, it used to be, you know, you could open it up and, like, hey, my uncle checked this book out.
I mean, we still have some of that. Yeah, we've gotten away from that. When the library system went over to computers, so we use computers to check books in and out, so we don't use the card system anymore, which is very sad, but the cards are still there, and I still have students that will open up books and say, that's my dad's name, and I'm like, very cool, you should read that book. And, like, you know, so that part of technology, I think, is unfortunate because it kind of disconnects us from the story. Part of the story is, you know, who touched this before me, who read this before me. But that can go into a really great conversation of maybe you should talk to your dad or your mom about what books they read as a kid. You probably would be interested in those same things. I don't know how often those conversations happen, but you're planting seeds. And you're trying to get kids to think about books and talk about books and see themselves connected to other people and other stories that are more than just them.
Well, I know, and I had a Kindle some years ago, and I still like the feel of a book in my hands. I think it's important for kids to realize that.
So Shay and I have talked about this, because we have been doing kind of some action research, and we have noticed that, especially since the COVID pandemic, our students crave analog. They crave physical things. They crave pencil and paper. They crave physical books. They crave hands-on projects and things. And I think Shauna was talking about this too. And I would say that we are really intentional in a lot of our classrooms. Shauna mentioned this, and this is something that Shay and I have been working on. How can we use technology as a tool? And once we're done using it as a tool, which means we used it to accomplish a task more efficiently and effectively, that tool goes away. So the Chromebook shuts, it gets set, put away, and now we go back to hands-on paper and pencil and a physical book and real materials, microscope, whatever that materials are. And we have noticed a huge increase in engagement with our students and a huge increase in just their joy of learning and satisfaction. Shay's had students that have thanked her for bringing back hands-on projects into her classrooms. And it just, I think, really speaks to what you're saying, that I think that we got really excited about how shiny digital technology has been, forgetting what actually connects us to the real world, and that's using our five senses, the things that we can touch, the things that we can see, the things that we can taste and smell. And that touch sensation is really critical. So we have actually very intentionally gone away from having digital materials into having analog materials, and have seen a huge increase in students buying in to what we're doing. And if it's as simple as giving them old technology, a paper and pencil, yeah, we're going to do that.
Absolutely. They still teach cursive writing too?
We do at Ithaca, yeah, which I think so. Is wonderful.
I like that. You know, I when that went away, I'm like, how are you supposed to sign your name?
How are you supposed to read the Declaration of Independence?
Exactly. Oh, we're having some fun talking with our friends from Ithaca today. We'll be back with more on The Morning Show after this timeout.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with CentOS. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with the CentOS Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit CentOS.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get get ready for the workday.
Hi, this is Dan Miller, Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. We call that this time of year was cabin fever. People come out of nowhere and come into town because they've burned too many fires. And we're waiting for you here at Old Cooch Books and Libations with all kinds of new records. You can get out your old phonograph and have a good time, all because of Old Cooch Books and Libations, 130 South Main, downtown Richland Center.
C.S. Lewis said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." This is Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. We encourage you to savor the moments you have with family and friends, leaving you with few regrets in the end. And when the time comes to celebrate a life well lived, we will be ready to support and serve you at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Does your employer offer 6 weeks of paid time off in your first year? Rockwell Automation does. How about a $2,500 sign-on bonus? A 401k with company match? Annual bonuses for all employees? Rockwell offers all that and more, including paid parental leave, tuition reimbursement, unlimited referral bonuses, and endless growth opportunities. This isn't your typical manufacturing job. It's a great place to work because of the great people who work there. Join the team. First shift starts over $20 an hour. Second shift over $22 an hour. Apply at rockwellautomation.com/careers. Search Richland Center or stop by any Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for an on-the-spot interview. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity. Now through March 8th, get 20% off selected items at Krause Monument in Richland Center. With top quality craftsmanship, top service, and a 90-day delivery guarantee, your satisfaction is assured. Call today to make an appointment at 608-647-8314.
Located in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, Surplus Online Auction stands as a beacon of auction excellence. Family-owned and operated with roots dating back to 1975, Richard and Matthew Lust have built a legacy of connecting buyers and sellers through professional online auction services. Serving Wisconsin and the Midwest communities throughout, Wisconsin Surplus turns your unused equipment into cash. Their online auctions make it easy to buy and sell surplus assets from anywhere. Proudly based in Wisconsin, they're dedicated to sustainability. Sustainable auction solutions that help everyone. Join the thousands who have trusted Wisconsin Surplus. Visit WisconsinSurplus.com and discover the power of online auctions.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road. We have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
One site, one app, one stop for 24-hour ag news and podcasts. At agriamerica.com, you'll find ag news from the best reporters and podcasters. Agra America streams nonstop ag news and country hits for free. The Agra America app is the place for timely, accurate, and dependable ag news. From the cab, to the truck, to the barn, to the kitchen, Agra America is ready to arm you with the knowledge you need as a farmer or rancher. Grab your smartphone and get it today. Agra America.
Have you ever met a nematode? Probably not. But this sneaky ingrate and its billions of friends steal soybean yields right out from under your nose. Nematodes cause up to $1.5 billion in soybean revenue loss each year. And if that's not enough, they also amplify sudden death syndrome. Why? Because they're microscopic good-for-nothing thieves, that's why. Take action against these yield-stealing jerks with Alevo soybean seed treatment from BASF, the only proven winner against both SEN and SDS. And remember to always read and follow label directions.
Thank you.
Welcome back to our morning show visit here on WRCO Radio, where we're talking about Ithaca schools during our time this month. And we have Superintendent Greg Herbst in the studio with us as well. Greg, somebody told me a long, long time ago that you surround yourself with good people, and it makes yourself look good, right? And I think that the ladies you have in here and the staff you've had on this year makes you look pretty good, my friend.
Well, absolutely. I'm walking evidence of that right now, so that point's well taken.
But how are things going here now as you get a little bit closer to the month of March?
A little bit closer. Well, just during this segment, I've been sitting over here somewhat wallowing in self-pity. And I say that because unlike our kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Kinsable, not one person this year has told me they love me or that I'm pretty. I can't wait till lunchtime today.
I can't believe that.
You know, the other part that goes along with that is that same kindergarten teacher used me as an example when teaching her children the difference between big and tall. Mm. And so there's some ambiguity of intent with those two words and has left me a little bit confused and curious. But it's all good. You know, I enjoyed some of the answers that were shared today because, you know, I think back to, you know, if you've been around a few decades, I think back to when the No Child Left Behind legislation came through in 2001 under then-President George W. Bush, and it put so much emphasis on test scores that what schools started to do is they started to take away the play and the self-discovery and the creativity. And you would see schools, if they were doing cuts, they would be cutting things like the arts and cutting music because, you know, the test scores don't somehow measure music. They measure math. They measure English. And so these other disciplines, which are so necessary to education and to the evolution of the entire child, were being cut. So when I hear things like I'd like to have more play and more self-discovery and more creativity, it just warms my heart. Listening to Shay talk about how in the middle school, walk down the hallway any period of any day and you will hear laughter coming from the classrooms. I can attest that that is true. And the other part is hearing how they have worked together, how Mrs. Urrea and Mrs. Willis, how they have worked together along with other people in the English Language Arts Department to create, to use collaboration to create a cohesiveness with what they're doing. I've been witness to those things as well. So everything that was shared here this morning is 100% spot on.
Indeed, and from the smaller grades all the way to the upper grades, you're having some good things going on this year, some accolades for the district.
Absolutely, and, yeah. And just at its most recent board meeting, the board did approve four different proposals for new classes for next year at the high school level. We are very fortunate to have the services of Dr. Brandon Federley, who teaches math, and he also teaches some science for us. Not too many high schools are privileged to have the services of a PhD on their faculty. And so next year he's going to be teaching chemistry study skills, which actually goes along with a chemistry course that he's teaching this year, which is dual credit through UW Oshkosh. And a second course is going to be General Organic and Biochemistry 1. So those two courses will be taught by Dr. Federley. Third course is U.S. History through Baseball, which some people might think, well, that sounds kind of interesting. I imagine it would be interesting because what you can do is you can take things that have happened in society and run them parallel to things that might happen in other parts of society. You know, for example, when you're talking about segregation, then let's talk about baseball and let's talk about Jackie Robinson. And I think one of the interesting parts might be when kids find out that the Dodgers are originally from Brooklyn and the Giants are originally from New York and those types of westward expansion things. A fourth class that's going to be taught by Mr. Kelly is psychology, which was one of my favorite classes in undergrad. So I think the kids are certainly going to enjoy that. So one of the challenges of a small school, because you don't have, you know, when I taught at Cedar Falls High School in Iowa, and we had 10 teachers in the math department. And because of that, we had 27 different course offerings. Well, you go to Ithaca, and there's 1.5 or 1.7 people in the math department, and you can't teach 27 course offerings. So with the addition of these new classes, we hope to offer new opportunities for the kids. So we're pretty excited about that.
Pretty excited about all of your work, your school to work. It continues to go well and blossom. You've got a lot of kids going in that direction, too.
I tell you what, and this is not just my opinion. This is statistical that we have the highest ranking school to work program. And that's because of one person, Monica Kirshner, who is the driver behind that. And she'll be the first to give an assist to Meredith Bevan, who helps very much. But I just mentioned yesterday, we had a faculty meeting, faculty and staff meeting at the end of the school day. And there are posters in the commons with the kids in their school to work pathways. And it's kind of cool when you see the high school kids in their scrubs, you know, those who want to go into healthcare. And also those wearing the uniforms of other trades. So it's kind of neat when you see that. And so, yeah, our school to work program certainly takes a backseat to nobody because of the efforts of those in charge of that.
I saw those posters, and it made me think, those kids look like they already graduated. I mean, they looked older in their scrubs and everything, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, if you think about it, obviously one of the charges of any high school is to prepare their kids for life after high school. And these kids who are fortunate enough to already know what they want to pursue and then to be able to have those experiences while in high school certainly have a leg up when they get out of high school when it comes to seeking employment and further education.
I know that other districts are kind of getting nervous for several in the area for referendums this year. You don't have to be nervous because yours passed in November.
Well, yeah, my nerves were frayed because we as a district worked tirelessly last year to prepare for the referendum in November, and we held numerous community forums and sent out different newsletters and things with information. And we are eternally grateful to the voters in Ithaca who approved that referendum at, I think it was the upper 60%, which is remarkable in itself, but even more remarkable when you factor in the fact that property values were being reassessed. So some people knew that they were going to take a double hit, yet they believe in their school. They believe in what we're trying to do for their children. And especially in small schools, a lot of small towns get their identity from their schools. And it would be a shame, in my opinion and the opinion of many, if Ithaca were to no longer exist or might have to consolidate, which still might be a discussion down the road, but not for now, might have to consolidate or in a worst case scenario might have to dissolve, which is what Mauston was looking at here until their referendum passed. So, no, we're very grateful to the stakeholders of Ithaca Schools for allowing us to continue to do what we do.
Well, you've been around education for a few years, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes it's easy to burn out a little bit, but when you have staff around you, as mentioned, like these ladies that we've heard from, that has to kind of recharge your battery all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And I've been in 6 school districts. And, you know, sometimes I play a little mind game with myself that if I could start my own school, who would I invite of those that I've had the privilege to work with? And there are many people in Ithaca that I would invite to join me, including, and I'm not just saying this because they're sitting here, the 3 ladies that are in the room with me right now are nothing short of phenomenal. And Ithaca is very fortunate that they share their talents with us.
I was going to commend you as well. I thought it was well done in a touch class the other night when Cooper Lomas from Wazika Steuben went over 1,000 points. You know, it's a visiting school, mm-hmm. but I thought you guys treated him really, really well. So thanks for doing that.
Oh, that's our pleasure. We've had a few kids reach that milestone this year, of course, with Sammy Clary and last year with Channing. And one of the things we did afterwards, too, is I went up to our basketball coach because I don't keep track of how many game balls we have. So I asked Coach Hips, I said, how many game balls do we have? And he said, only 3 or 4. And I said, well, why don't we give this game ball to him? So not only they had a ceremonial ball, you know, the one with the white strips on it where people can sign it, but he also went home with the actual ball that he shot to get his 1,000th point. So we felt very fortunate that we could do that. And I know when the ball was handed over to Mom, who gave it to her son, she was pretty thrilled.
Oh, that's awesome. And your extracurriculars are doing really well this year, it looks like.
They are. They are. I was at the wrestling meet in Mineral Point, which is in my backyard, last week, and our wrestlers performed very well. We start regional basketball. Starts coming up girls next week, the boys the following week, and we certainly wish them well as they advance. Wrestlers have sectionals coming up. So, yeah, it's an exciting time to be an Ithaca Bulldog.
Emily, you mentioned forensics. Can you give us an update on the forensics team and how it's doing?
I can, and Shay and I are both assistant coaches. Miss Julie Thompson is our head coach for forensics. districts. So all of our students pass sub-districts with very good scores, and we are moving into district into just a couple of weeks. So working hard to get our students to take the feedback that they got from sub-district, because all of them have moved on, which is phenomenal, to have the best performance possible at district, and then hopefully move on to state in April.
You got a lot of different categories, kids in almost all of them, Shay?
Yeah, we have a lot. We even have a radio speaker this year, which is so exciting. That is one of my absolute favorite categories as an adjudicator. But we have demonstration speeches, we have prose, poetry, some group interpretations of different pieces of literature. So there is a little bit of something for everybody. And so it's exciting to see so many students from so many different walks of life getting involved in forensics and finding pieces that speak to them, and then learning those public speaking skills, meeting new people. It's such a great time, and it's so exciting for them that we all moved on. We can go to district as a team, and to see their improvement. I actually just had a coaching session this morning before school even started. I had a student come in and we were working together. So it's really great to be able to work with those students in that area as well.
Well, nice to hear that tradition continues, because I know Bob Pillow was a big guy to start that, and then Louise Murphy, you know, many years, and others. Yes. Lots of others have helped through the years too.
Yeah, so. And Mrs. Murphy still comes in and she still coaches some of our students and helps us out greatly. We are so thankful to her and all of the advice she offers. I mean, she was such a mentor for my husband and I growing up performing, and it's so great to have all of that knowledge to still be shared with us as coaches and then with our students as well. It's such a blessing.
Yeah, they say public speaking is like one of the number one fears, Emily. So this is a great tool for students to have, right?
It is a great tool, but it is also very cool, especially when you've watched these kids grow up through middle school and now they're in high school, and you're able to see these gifts that they had in middle school, perhaps, that were maybe the gifts that might have gotten them in trouble, the lack of ability to stop speaking or to stop joking around. And they're really able to use those gifts now and hone them and strengthen them and use them to communicate a message through what they're able to deliver in speech. And so I think that that's the most rewarding part. Shay and I have even had conversations like, when this kid gets to high school and joins forensics, it's going to be phenomenal. And it is every time. And we have even started saying that to middle school, because they are asking about some of the high school forensics. I'm like, you get to do that. That yes. will be you.
Awesome. Mr. Herbst?
You know, the beauty of forensics, too, and you had mentioned when talking to Emily, one of the joys of being a small school is you know all of the kids, and then you then also know what they might want to read or something like that. The same thing's true when it comes to going to forensics, because I had a student in class. I'm going to give her a shout-out, Kaylee Peterson. And Kaylee was always engaged, very quiet. However, I then go to Reedsburg to watch her perform in forensics, and this child turned into a person I had never met before. And she was animated and using her hands and her eyes, which were always bright, now were bright and dancing, and she was going through this presentation that she was giving, and it was a different person. So to be able to see students in a different light is a lot of fun for me, and I'm sure a lot of fun for others.
And it's awesome to hear there's another future radio announcer. Maybe a few years they can take
Absolutely.
Over for me.
So. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that is a fun and a tough category, too. They've got a half hour to prepare like a newscast.
It is, yeah. Yes. They don't really know their material beforehand, whereas a lot of our students are writing their own speeches, or they are performing that was something that was published by Edgar Allan Poe. The radio students are given a packet half an hour before they start, and then they have to put together a news broadcast that covers all of the topics, and they have to be able to just run through that without really having much practice time. So super unique category. There are other things that some students say make it easier than other categories. They don't actually have to look at their judge. They actually face in profile. So students who maybe kind of struggle with that public speaking or fear of an audience, they just can kind of zone out and do their own thing. So it's really cool how each category has its unique things that make it more difficult and also easier.
When are districts then?
I believe mid-March.
Okay. Yes.
And state is mid-April.
Yep.
Okay. Well, good luck. We hope
Thank
it goes
you.
Well. Shauna, we've left you quiet here. I know you don't have any forensic students in your class, but
I try to be.
You've got some talkers. Yeah, you have some talkers. Anything else you wanted to add today, Shauna?
I don't think so. If my kindergartners are listening, because my aide told me she was going to put me on, shout out to all my kindergartners, all 23 of them this year.
Tell them to get off the desk. You'll be there soon, right?
Yes, yes. Please don't sit on the tables. Please listen to Mrs. Dickey.
Well, good to have you in here today, and it's been a blast. And Mr. Herbst, anything else you'd like to add here at the end?
Yeah, I'd just like to finish giving one of the biggest shout-outs that I will ever gratefully give, and that is to Kathleen Shane. Kathleen she wears as many hats as a baseball team. When you look around the school, she's not only elementary principal, she's also the district assessment coordinator. She's a pre-K through 12 curriculum director. Kathleen is one of those people to me who embodies Ithaca. She's honest. She's straightforward. She's willing to jump in when there's help, whether it's a part of her position description or not. And she has decided that she would like to retire at the end of this year. And so as happy as we are for her, we look forward then to selecting the next educational leader of the elementary school. We've posted her position. We've had 9 applicants. We are vetting those applicants, and we have some interviews planned for starting next week and the following week, where we look to choose, once again, the next educational leader of Ithaca Elementary School. So just a shout out to Kathleen, because like I said, she's one of those people who, to me at least, embodies what Ithaca is about. And I have really appreciated working with her. If she's listening to this, she's probably blushing, and I'm going to hear it when I get back. But everything I've said is true. She's been phenomenal, and I'm really going to miss her and appreciate everything she does.
It sounds like someone we might need to interview here before the end of the school year.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Maybe a whole show.
Yeah, there you go.
You're welcome,
this is your
Kathleen.
Life. Well, thanks, everyone. We'll let you get back to school today.
Thank you. So, appreciate it, Phil.
You bet. Greg Herbst joining us, along with Shauna Kitzenbull, Emily Zarea, and Shay Willis on The Morning Show representing Ithaca.
Cobison Bus Richland Center is now hiring sub and trip drivers for here in Richland Center and drivers to travel to Lodi or DeForest. You will be paid from the time you leave Richland Center. Starting route pay is $21 per hour. It's an excellent opportunity for retired vets, stay-at-home parents, or anyone wanting flexible employment. You will get paid to train also. To apply, call 647-4446 or stop by the Richland Center Cobison Terminal off Highway 14 beside TC Auto Works.
Free February sale is going on at Furniture Decor and More in Boscobel and Westby. This month only, get free financing, free in-town delivery, and free gift with qualifying purchase. Don't miss it. Free February at Furniture Decor and More, Boscobel and Westby. Free February sale going on at Furniture Decor and More in Westby and Boscobel. This month only, get free financing, free in-town delivery, and a free gift with a qualifying purchase. Don't miss it. Free February at Furniture Decor and More, Boscobel and Westby.
Attention hunters and outdoor enthusiasts. The Driftless Area Deer Classic is back this Saturday from 9 to 5 at the Richland Center Community Center. Bring your deer head for a chance to win a gun. Explore exciting vendors, bucket and gun raffles, and enter the trail camera photo contest. Have sheds? Bring them along. They're welcome, though they won't be scored. Enjoy delicious food and drinks while sharing stories with fellow hunters. Admission is just $5, and kids 16 and under get in free. Want to beat the rush? Pre-register Friday, February 21st from 5 to 9 p.m. or Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. For more info, call 475-4963. Don't miss the Driftless Area Deer Classic this Saturday.
TC Auto Works is your one-stop vehicle experts. From routine maintenance to complex repairs or your next vehicle purchase, you can trust the team at TC Auto Works for all your automotive needs. TC Auto Works is your steering and suspension specialist. From tires, shocks, suspension parts to steering components, TC Auto Works is now offering financing on repairs over with qualifying credit. See dealer for details. TC Auto Works, Highway 14 East, Richland Center.
Here is Jamie Gander of Badgerland Flooring.
We started our business in 2008. We named it Badgerland Flooring of Southwest Wisconsin, obviously. And then 6 years ago, we started doing kitchens, and we just want to really get the word out to people that we're doing those now as well. We have a showroom west end of the building is committed to kitchens. You know, we do bath remodels, vanities, countertops. You can do any type of flooring, walk-in showers, but we're really trying to let the public know we're doing a lot of kitchens nowadays, too.
See Badgerland Flooring in Richland Center for more information.
At U.S. Cellular, get the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus on us. No trade-in needed. And stay a step ahead with Galaxy AI, including you, misunderstood texter.
Why do people think I'm so frustrated?
Well, your last text said, "Where are you?" in all caps.
That's not frustrated. That's efficient.
Galaxy AI gives you helpful tips before you need it, with friendlier options like, just checking in, are you on your way?
Wow, I'm so polite now.
Stay a step ahead and get the Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on us. U.S. Cellular, built for us. Terms apply. See uscellular.com for details.
Chitwood Electric in Richland Center has expert service of electric motors, starters, alternators, and magnetos. Bob also sharpens cow clipper blades, and he sells new electric motors and barn fans. Stop in at 215 South Jefferson Street or give him a call at 647-3317. For the very best in service work, new motors, and barn fans, talk with Bob at Chitwood Electric Richland Center. When you need help, the number to call is 647-3317. That's Chitwood Electric.
Hauling, fencing, hunting, as sure as real work requires breaking a sweat, John Deere Gator utility vehicles work as tough and play as hard as you do. Find your Gator at Hillsboro Equipment, because you don't need just any side-by-side, you need a cargo box that performs under stress and extreme conditions, and an engine that hustles with or without a full load in the back. Run with us on a Gator UTV from Hillsboro Equipment, Boston Equipment, or Slama's Lawn and Sport.
Ithaca and Buena Vista Lions Clubs are coming together for a great cause. Join them for a pancake breakfast fundraiser in support of Jennifer Ward on February 23rd from 7 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at Ithaca High School Commons. The community will gather to enjoy a delicious breakfast, a fun bounce house for kids, and an opportunity to give back. Adults can eat for just $10, students $5, preschoolers eat free. Remember, carryouts are available. Don't forget to check out the bake sale, silent auction, and meat raffle. If you want to contribute, call Bill at 608-475-6870 or Joanne at 608-516-2675. Come together, enjoy a great meal, and support a wonderful cause. The Ithaca and Buena Vista Lions Clubs Benefit Pancake Breakfast Fundraiser in support of Jennifer Ward on February 23rd.